Shall we stand together? In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
We have to prepare for Christmas, the coming of God and Jesus Christ.
Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain.
We have to see God and hear His word in worship, so that we may see God and hear His word in all of life.
And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
We have the sound of praise to God, the God of God, the gifts of our lives, to celebrate the fulfillment of hope.
We cannot come before the presence of God without becoming aware of who we are and whose we are, and how we have failed to become all that we were meant to be. Will you join with me in the prayer of confession? Holy God, forgive our fears and inhibitions that keep us from being excited about Christmas. Forgive our shallow enthusiasm that wears out all too soon. Forgive us when we live as though you do not love us, and when we act as though others are unworthy of your love. Forgive us for giving things instead of ourselves, and help us to give things as expressions of the gift of ourselves. Lead us to receive the gift of your love and to share it all around, even as Jesus did. Forgive. Amen. Hear now the statement of affirmation, acceptance, and forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness.
There are so many things in the Advent story which absolutely boggle the mind. I suppose that you, in your own effort to make proclamation this time of year, find difficulty in picking and choosing from amongst the mystery that which you would have a dare to go at trying to explicate or exegete or even to proclaim. For example, how does one approach the awesome sight of that baby in the manger? How does one ever try to share with even his own household, much less the household of faith, in public worship, the implication of the mind-boggling fact that the living Lord God of us in our universe, so far as we mortals know, chose as his first earth bed a feed trough? How graphic can you get? How appropriate is that? That the very bread of life could lie no first place better than in a feed trough. Here the Son of Man, the Son of God, the very bread upon which our spirits feed, seems to be dramatizing something in his arrival. That Son, that body which was broken for us, entering in that manger. I say it's mind-boggling. So here at his table, when we would hush long enough of our own stammering, stuttering efforts to make proclamation, to let the table speak, our minds and our hearts journey. And we're reminded afresh that Christmas is chock full of journeys, too. Mind-boggling journeys. The journey of a man and his pregnant wife from home against their will for their firstborn to meet the conditions of Rome's census taking, from Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem in Judea, because that's where they had to go to register. The journey of those grimy old men from the field, the shepherds, from their night watch and their sheep keeping to a stable. The journey of those three Persians, unknown to us, wandering from their homelands westward, following that ball in the sky. And then later, the journey of a king's posse, soldiers commissioned by Herod to slay all of Bethlehem's babies in order that the one who did escape might not escape. And then, alas, the journey of a holy family that didn't know anything at all about what the weightier matters of their flight must be, from Israel to Egypt, when Israel and Egypt were on better terms, and without even so much as a passport, they went there for safety. And then later, the journey of that same family back from Egypt to Nazareth, where the baby grew and became a man and increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. Threading through all those journeys, the most mind-boggling one of all, the journey of God with us, so far as we mortals know, the very first time in all of the universe and in all of history and in all of time and eternity that the living God had been enfleshed, journeying to earth. I say that first Advent was chock full of journey. Advent itself spells journey. And before this table, we too today must journey. So let us journey for some of the same reasons that others journeyed in the beginning. For example, well, take the shepherd journey. Let's look at that for a moment. It's not a bad map for our trip. Here is the record. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. Now, in the same district, there were shepherds out in their fields, keeping watch through the night over their flock, when suddenly there stood before them an angel of the Lord, and the splendor of the Lord shone round them, and they were terror-struck. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I have good news for you. There is great joy coming to the whole people. Today in the city of David, a deliverer has been born to you, the Messiah, the Lord. And this is your sign. You will find the baby lying all wrapped up in a manger." All at once, there was with the angel a great company of the heavenly host singing the praises of God. Glory to God in the highest, heaven and on earth, his peace for men on whom his favor rests. After the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Come, we must go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with all speed and found their way to Mary and Joseph and saw the baby lying in a manger. When they saw him, they recounted what they had been told about this child. And all who heard were worshipped. All who heard were astonished at what the shepherds said. Meanwhile, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for what they had heard and seen. For it had all happened as they had been told it would happen. I grew up thinking that those shepherds journeyed mainly because of what they believed about what the angel sang. More recently, I've come to the conclusion that in all probability, those shepherds journeyed because of what they could not believe about what the angel sang. Now let's get the picture. Let's be human for just an instant. Here were smelly and grimy old men of the fields, and some young men too, I suspect. They knew the sights and the sounds of a Judean night. They knew the strange night movements of sheep. They were themselves Palestine's most famed spinners of tall tales. And now, the dreary routine of just another night was penetrated and punctuated by sights and sounds that no mortal had ever before experienced. The angels came, the heavens split wide open, and the angels sang. Think of that. And what those shepherds heard was just as incredible as what they saw. For unto you is born this day in the city of David Messiah, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Messiah? Not only ear, but heart perked up at that. That was the prophetic hope all wrapped up in a single utterance. Sign? Oh, God, heavens to Betsy, they'd waited on tiptoe for generations for that word to come to pass. Messiah, they understood just a bit. Sign, they were equipped to meet even from angel song just a bit. But the next word got them. Baby? Swaddling cloths? Manger? A baby savior lying in a feed trough? God in diapers? Simply too much to believe. Out there all at once, simply too much. So the shepherd said, let's go see. And they journeyed. I think now just as much because of what they could not believe as because of what they could. And when they reached the cave where cattle are kept behind the inn at Bethlehem, they then saw, just as they had heard, a sight as hard to take in as what they had been told out there in the hill. There indeed was the baby, the bread of life, in a feed trough. They were touched, they were moved, and they worshiped him. But you know something? We're indebted to these raw-born men of the hill for a tremendous Christmas truth. One of the saddest things about this season is that we and our kind are willing to take someone else's word for it. But those shepherds were not willing to do that. Not even the word of angel. They had to go and see and experience for themselves how Christmas happened. That's terribly important for us in our exercise of these days also. For ours are Advent times, 1975, marked by so much secondhand information. so much news from here and reports from there and rumors from this or that direction. It's hard to get confidence in someone else's word. And you know, in experiencing the deeper meaning of these days, that's exactly as it ought to be. A Christmas based alone on someone else's word for it wouldn't be much of a Christmas anyhow, would it? We all then must take a shepherd journey and see for ourselves. So with this supper, so with this table prepared, I can tell you, and I will tell you, and I do here and now tell you, that this same Lord Christ who came to Bethlehem comes to Wake Forest. I can tell you that this same bread of life, and I do tell you, that the self-same bread of life who first lay in Bethlehem's feed trough visits us now through the symbol of this broken bread and beverage. But don't you take my word for it, or even the words of angels or of shepherds. Come to this table now and see for yourself.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, for the bread of life broken, for the bread of life placed in a manger, for the bread of life experienced from a cross, for the bread of life placed on a table, for the bread of life that is everywhere, we give you praise. In Jesus' name.
our hearts tell us that we've long since learned how to produce death under laboratory conditions. It's life we now need to know how to manage. Death, that's easy by cross. But life, oh God, today, teach us how to experience that also by cross. Give us the good news, that crucifixion, always in Christ, are followed by resurrection. And through the shedding of this blood, we too may live. tables, please. Almighty God, our Father, this table, thy presence, profoundly impressed upon our spirits this day. Remind us that fun in here comes hard. We would forge in thy name at this place of the elements and the proclamation of these symbols, the koinonia, which will make us sons and daughters of God in a community of learning, together but not alone, joy, even in the midst of our pain, dying to live, living to serve in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.